The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano.
Working for it all, but it's money, money. It's money, money. It's money, money. Working for it all, but it's something, money. That's money.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Happy Monday. Hope your day is off to a wonderful start. President Trump has declared his April 2nd deadline to be Liberation Day for the United States. And it was the day he's going to put in place what he's called reciprocal tariffs that seek to equalize U.S. tariffs with the duties charged by trading partners, as well as tariffs on sectors like automobiles, pharmaceuticals, and semiconductors. He repeatedly has said that he would enact them on April 2nd. This morning, there's some change in those thoughts, and we're going to get Dave Spano's thoughts on that in just a little bit. Also, some big news from last week. You may have missed, if you're not a DoorDash customer, maybe you don't know what Klarna is. So DoorDash and Klarna signed a deal where customers can choose to pay for food deliveries in interest-free installments. Now, this is buy now, pay later. So essentially now, if you want to buy your food with DoorDash, you're ordering from wherever, your favorite fast food place, to have it hand delivered to your home, you can pay in interest-free payments using Klarna, integrated into the DoorDash platform. Buy now, pay later. I really wonder what this says about the state of the economy. And we're going to get Dave's thoughts on this as well. It's easy. It's simple. Without a doubt, hey, if I want to buy a $10 meal deal from whatever my favorite fast food restaurant is, now I can break it up into four payments and pay it over the course of, what, 6-8 weeks? But what if you miss one of those payments? What happens? Your credit score could get dinged. So, is this a good move? Or is it one that is just going to further escalate us into a little bit of a credit crisis? I don't know. It's interesting. It's reacting to what the consumer wants. It's making it easier to buy things at a lower price point. I understand all that. Buy now, pay later services. There are many of them. Affirm, Afterpay. They're being used by U.S. consumers across the area. And this past holiday season, more shoppers than ever used delayed payment methods, according to reporting by the Washington Post. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this opportunity. I know in our whole household, I'm always amazed that, whoa, how did our kids even figure out how to use DoorDash? And how did this food show up here? I don't want them to have that opportunity to break those payments up. Obviously, they have to get consent from an adult to make that purchase in the first place. But providing that flexibility, I think, could have some really interesting, complex qualities on the economy as a whole. We'll get Dave's take on this when we come back. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. It's our Monday market preview. Dave, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Thank you. So the Dow is up 500 points this morning on some tariff optimism. And President Trump seems to be narrowing his looming set of tariffs a bit. What are you seeing at the markets today?
Yeah, they like the fact that this may get kicked down the road again. And maybe it's not the White House, it's the Waffle House, but I don't mind it, right? I don't mind that they're trying to walk that back. But, you know, if I was negotiating the deal, I would just put a list together of all the tariffs and the countries and the products, right? So the whole world could see it. And so if the United States, for example, is getting, you know, 40% on a certain product and we're charging 5%, everybody in the world can see that there is an inconsistency there, and that's what he's trying to get done. He's trying to get a more fair trade deal done where some of these tariffs are equal amongst countries, and that's kind of the backdrop. So it is reducing the odds that we'll have more disruption, but April 2nd is a big day no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're watching that closely, and so is the market.
Okay. So I mentioned this a little bit in the last segment that buy now, pay later services are being integrated into DoorDash. So you can have your home food delivered from your favorite fast food restaurant. You can break up payments, maybe a $9 order, a $12 order, into four payments that are interest-free. What are your thoughts on this kind of next-level credit, if you will, for fast food delivery?
Yeah, you know, breaking up your burrito payment into four payments
yes.
Doesn't sound like something that we'd want to do, right? But for some people who are the terms unbanked, mm-hmm. right? So people who don't have a credit card, maybe that makes sense, unless, right, you get to a point where you start adding up and it starts becoming another debt problem for somebody else. But for a lot of people, you know, so for example, it's an alternative for a credit card, but
right.
for a lot of people, they have more month than money, right? So there's still some of the month left and they've run out of money. Those are the folks that we are kind of concerned about. As we know, there are a lot of people who are feeling the pinch,
mm-hmm.
But it's not a punch in the gut, but it's certainly
right.
another way to pay it as long as people are going to pay it at the end of the month. But me personally, I'm not breaking up my burrito payments into four.
No, I mean, it's a creative way for sure. It's interest free, but you really have to be aware of what could happen when you miss the payments. It's not just
yeah, yeah.
free money and you're not getting your $10 burrito for $2.50. You have to pay
right.
each one. And if you miss one, it could have implications on your credit.
Yeah, and that's an issue, number one. And number two, and we've talked about this before, is, you know, we've got a two-speed economy, right? So those who had the haves, they are the ones who are spending and keeping retail spending going. And those who don't have it are struggling. And that is, you know, that's a political argument for sure. It's an economic argument. It's something that we as a country need to solve.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk stocks again, kind of specifically. I mean, really, Tesla's on everyone's mind in terms of,
yeah.
hey, do I buy? Do I sell? What's the long-term implications for the company? A bit of a roller coaster, but I think there's a bit of a thought like, wow, it might be time to buy Tesla. How do you advise and interpret around kind of single stock buys?
Yeah, so, you know, we do that work. We are a bottom-up research organization. So we look at every one of these securities from the bottom up and say, all right, what are the valuations of it? How is it trading? And then we start to build out those portfolios. But for every single person, right, obviously your risk tolerance, it has got to matter. And does it fit into your portfolio? But you talk about Tesla and he's, you know, when you step into the political environment, that's kind of what happens. You start getting punched around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing, of course, you know, this company called BYD, which is a Chinese automaker, which is really going gangbusters around the world, not in the United States because of 100% tariffs, which I am sure he intends to put into place. But
right.
There are other automakers as well. And you think about there's hybrid, there's plug-in hybrid, there's, you know, all of the major car companies are starting to get into EV business, and it's for those that are selling it, it makes sense. So Tesla is, I think, suffering a little bit from political harassment, but that's what you do when you step into this ring. But you got to be careful, right?
Yeah.
When you talk about individual stocks, it's a lack of diversification. You got to make sure that you don't have a short-term focus. You know, what are the concerns of those things, and that's why. If you just say, all right, I'm going to have 5% or 2% or 4% of my entire portfolio in one stock, that's okay. It's when you start getting 10 and 20 and 30%. And we do see people who come in with an overweight in a single position.
Yeah. And always be aware, you know, the stock price isn't totally indicative always of the opportunity and what's happening inside the business, too. There's a lot beyond the car at Tesla, for sure.
There's no question. And there's the short term and the long term. And I think Buffett said that in the short term, that investing in single companies is a voting machine, but in the long term, it's a weighing machine. In other words, if you're buying the right company in a longer term perspective, no matter what it is, Jeff, if they sell more whatever revenue and they get a more net income or profitability, that's something the market can value. It's those that don't that have an issue.
All right, Dave, I always appreciate your insights. Enjoy the week, and maybe we'll talk to you next week. Next Monday is opening day, so we might delay our conversation 1 week, and I'll just see you at the ballpark.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll see you there.